the Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. Jared and the GM, with Jared Stillman and Floyd Reese.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
And it is Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game, online at thegamenashville.com. Live today, Floyd, at Village Pub in East Nashville, 1308 McGavick Pike. And, of course, what happens when we come out here to Village Pub in East Nashville? We're giving away Preds tickets for the big Preds game tonight. We'll have a drawing at 7 o'clock. If you come on out for the watch party tonight to watch the Preds take on Toronto, which starts at 6:30, you can register to win premium center ice lower-level tickets for Preds in Calgary next week. That would be next Thursday. So come on by tonight, and you can register to win by 7 o'clock. And you can win those lower-level premium center ice seats, what I call the Floyd Reese seats.
They are always right on the 50. I mean, they are prime seats.
Again, the Floyd Reese seats. Because you got to be a big baller like Floyd Reese.
All right.
The big baller brand in order to sit in the Floyd Reese seats. So, again, that's Village Pub out at East Nashville. If you live in East Nashville, come on, stop by, hang out with us. So the big news of the day, obviously, Josh McDaniels last night absolutely spurns the Colts. Which, I'm not going to lie, Floyd, I had a real big chuckle when I saw that come across well, I guess in my case, the phone. But when I saw Josh McDaniels was backing out of the agreement with the Colts, after the Colts announced yesterday they were going to have a press conference today, I got a little bit of a chuckle out of it.
Yeah, it's sad. You know, the truth is, it's not good for Josh.
Not sad.
It's not good for the Colts. It's not good. I mean, it's really poorly put together. I mean, it goes back to the basics of any business deal. I mean, you know, you don't talk about it till the signature's down. I mean, they've signed it, paperwork is okay, we're in good shape. Now you talk about it, but you certainly don't talk about it when you don't have any signatures. And I don't know if maybe they learned a great lesson, which, you know, he should have already known, or if they thought maybe that by going public with it, it would somehow force Josh into going through with the deal. I mean, I don't know what their thought was, but it certainly wasn't very pretty. I mean, it was poorly handled by everyone. But, I mean, it was a lose-lose.
But haven't you noticed that these type of things really only happen to, like, the same type of organizations? Like the Redskins and the Raiders and the Jets and the Colts.
A lot of times.
I mean, like, this does not happen to, you know, if you this doesn't happen to the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, a lot of times it happens to those organizations. And I don't know, you know, it's amazing, but so many of them have so many people that are really smart and do a good job at whatever it is they're doing. And you know, you would never expect it, especially if you're a New York team. I mean, the league officers are right there. I mean, all you have to do is walk down the street and say, hey, is this okay? But I'm astonished at how often they don't do that and how often they end up doing something that is ugly for everybody.
And I love it. So there you go. I absolutely loved it. I chuckled. I got only the Colts. Only the Colts could screw this up. But I have one big Titans question that comes from this. And you've already got a smirk on your face. You don't even know what my question is yet.
No.
But
I don't.
The question kind of borders on the word theory.
Theory.
I want to know what John Robinson knew and when he knew it. I want to know, because did you notice who the Colts' second choice for head coach was? They had two guys. They had Josh McDaniels and Mike Vrabel. And I want to know what John Robinson knew. Because all these New England people, and Floyd, I worry about how much of a help you're going to be on this topic, because you are sworn to the same blood secrecy oaths that all these Patriots people are. The people that are as sneaky as they come, Belichick, Kraft, McDaniels, Robinson, Vrabel, Reese. So I know that, you know, there might be a hit put out on you if you let too much out of the bag here. But I want to know, because here's what happened. Just the way I'm looking at it, from a chronological standpoint, the Titans are in New England. No, hold on, excuse me. Josh McDaniels and Mike Vrabel both interview for the Colts job the same week that the Titans play the Chiefs, right?
I don't even know. I mean, I'm taking your word for it.
Okay, so then the next week, it's assumed McDaniels is getting the Colts job, and the Titans go to New England, which means at some point John Robinson could have talked to Belichick. He could have talked to McDaniels. He could have talked to Kraft. He could have talked to any of those three guys. We would never know about it because it's tampering, and they'll never tell you those things, although I'm sure tampering happens all the time. And I don't know what was said, but it would not shock me if something was said along the lines of, hey, Josh is probably not going to take the Colts job. And if Josh doesn't take the Colts job, he's having second thoughts. And if Josh doesn't take the Colts job, then they're going to hire Vrabel. Because the next day, when they got back, John Robinson fired his coach so he could go hire Mike Vrabel. And I wonder if he did that to keep the Colts, one of his biggest rivals, a divisional team, from going out and hiring Mike Vrabel, a guy he'd rather have his coach be his coach than Mike Mularkey. So maybe McDaniels had a change of heart yesterday. Maybe he was going to do this the whole time because we know that Kraft is upset with the Colts for Deflategate. I don't know. All I want to know is, what did John Robinson know, and when did he know it?
And how are you planning on getting an answer to this
question? I will never get an answer to that. is the most disappointing part of all of this.
You got no prayer.
Is that you all know that there's no way that I'm going to figure this out. It's like I was talking today to my dad about Malcolm Butler, and he said, well, you know, at some point it'll all come out. I go, not with Belichick. It doesn't come out with Belichick. And
Schefter got it out today. What'd Schefter say?
Schefter said it was only football that Malcolm Butler was benched in the Super Bowl.
There you go. How much more validation can you get than Adam Schefter?
Adam Schefter said the Patriots would not trade Jimmy Garoppolo for 4 number 1 picks. They traded him for a second round pick.
There you go.
So,
right again.
Again, I stand by this. I want to know if the hiring of Mike Vrabel by John Robinson had anything to do with the McDaniels and the Colts situation. Because in this weird New England brethren world, I can see it playing out like this. And it'll never get out because Kraft doesn't talk a lot. Well, Kraft does talk, but Kraft does not, you know, Kraft doesn't give away the trade secrets. Belichick doesn't talk at all. And my guess is since McDaniels is staying there, he's not going to talk at all. But I wonder, somebody tweeted this out yesterday that Kraft really wanted to stick it to the Colts after the Deflategate stuff. And I wonder if this was maybe predetermined that this was how this was going to go. And I wonder if John being inside the circle of trust, if that got to John before John went ahead and made the move to fire Mike Mularkey and hire Mike Vrabel to keep the Colts from hiring Mike Vrabel.
I can't even comment. I don't even know where to go with that.
Is it that you can't comment because you're afraid that you'd lose your spot in the circle of trust?
No, I mean, I can't comment. That's so convoluted. I can't even begin. I can't wrap my head around it. I mean, I have no clue where you're trying to go with this. It's pretty astounding. But
so you think Josh just got cold feet?
I mean, I don't know what happened. I mean, obviously something happened, but I don't think he would have carried through with it if he was going to stick it to him, as you put it. I mean, I don't know that he would be let himself be miserable for 2 weeks to do that, but you could be right. I don't know.
How miserable was he for 2 weeks? He was coaching ball for the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, but, I mean, he was also having to make calls and try to set up staff and try to – I mean, I'm sure he was in constant contact with Indy over the thing. I mean, I don't. There was something between the decision and yesterday that obviously he didn't like, and I don't know. I have no idea what that could be.
And I again stand by my point that things like this happen to like these kind of organizations. For lack of a better word, the dumb organizations, the Colts, the Jets, the Redskins. The NFL is a socialist government from the standpoint that they want everybody to have the same. They want everybody to be 8-8. The worst team gets the best pick. You've got a salary cap. They want everyone to be the same. And yet it's the same like 6 teams that are at the bottom of the league every year that always do the dumb stuff, like the Raiders. And so I am looking at this and I'm thinking to myself, clearly somewhere along the line, Indianapolis screwed up. And I don't know where it is, and I don't know where to assess blame. You know, Chris Ballard, the general manager of the Colts, had a real fiery press conference today in which he vowed, Floyd, the rivalry was back on.
Ah.
Now, let's not forget that the Colts have not beaten the Patriots since 2009.
They're going to have to put together a team before they can have a rivalry again.
I think they got to get Peyton back.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's right.
So the rivalry is back on. But again, I'm not ruling out a theory that this was planned by the Patriots and that John Robinson was in on it, and hence why he hired Mike Vrabel when he did. Because if this had happened today and Mike Mularkey was still the coach of the Titans, Mike Vrabel would be the next head coach of the Colts. And maybe John didn't want Mike Vrabel to go to the Colts, and he wanted Mike Vrabel over Mike Mularkey, so he just said, you know what, I got to get rid of Mike Mularkey today so I can go get Mike Vrabel.
Well, if that's the case, we got to be excited.
Maybe.
I mean, we got a fantastic coach. John thinks enough of him to do all that.
I just want to know.
That would be the top of the line.
I just want to know what John Robinson knew when he knew it. That's my only question. Any shot that?
No. No.
I'm telling you, watch out for Floyd.
All right.
The Patriots circle of trust. I just want to know. So we're off and running today, live out of Village Pub in East Nashville. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. And Floyd, I woke up today in a very good mood.
Good.
So I'm going to be lenient with the callers today.
Ooh.
I don't know exactly how I'm going to be lenient. It's going to be very difficult for me to be super lenient. But today, caller's day. I promise to be nice. So we're starting off on the McDaniels stuff and my theory. So here's what's on the table. Your thoughts on McDaniels, your thoughts on the Colts, your thoughts on my theory about when did John Robinson know? Which, again, I want to know if the Patriot circle of trust is involved at all. And then the final aspect of it, the Patriots. Because Floyd, and I know you're a Patriot, but I'm hearing too much stuff. I'm hearing too much. I want to get to that coming up next. We are live out at Village Pub in East Nashville. Once again, come on out and register to win those lower-level premium center ice tickets for the game against Calgary on February 15th. Come on out tonight to watch him take on Toronto. It's Jared and the GM hanging out at Village Pub in East Nashville. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The cold feet came about from a variety of circumstances, not the least of which is over the last couple of days, the Krafts, who own the Patriots, went to Josh McDaniels and conveyed how much they wanted him to stay, how much they appreciated his contributions, how much he meant to the franchise this and in future seasons.
Adam Schefter talking about Kraft talking to McDaniels and that kind of convincing McDaniels to stay. Jared and the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game, live out at Village Pub in East Nashville. Come on out and join us and win those premium lower-level center ice Preds tickets. Floyd, I have a hard time believing everything that I've been told here on the McDaniels front, but really on everything. Everything Patriots-related, I have a hard time believing all of it. So, like, the whole theory that Malcolm Butler was benched for the Super Bowl because of his play on the field.
But what did Schefter say?
Schefter said that it was a football decision.
There you go.
Again, I have a hard time believing that.
Schefter said it.
I have a hard time believing that McDaniels, who may never get another opportunity again, because last night it came out that when McDaniels turned down the Colts, it came out that, I mean, everybody's assumption was, well, he must be taking Belichick's spot, right? Like, that Belichick's going to leave, and that, you know, at this point, that if Belichick leaves and then all of a sudden they've turned it over to McDaniels, that made the most sense. And then it came out, this has nothing to do with the future of Bill Belichick or replacing Belichick. So now I'm supposed to believe that that's not true. Schefter today was talking about the real reason why he feels like McDaniels turned down the Colts.
Didn't feel comfortable leaving for an organization he didn't know, for people he hasn't worked with.
That happens in every job in football. I don't believe that.
Schefter said it. That's your guy. We all know if Schefter says it, it's true.
Then Malcolm Butler puts out a statement saying he didn't do anything wrong, and Brady likes it and comments on it. And Brady basically endorsing Malcolm Butler. And I'm supposed to think that there's no feud between Belichick and Brady? So all this New England stuff that's come out, I don't know what to believe, but I don't believe everything they're telling me.
You have to let Schefter tell us.
He doesn't know.
He knows. He just told us two things have to be the truth. Schefter. I mean, isn't he like on the Mount Rushmore of reporters?
I'm on Belichick's side in the benching of Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl. You know why?
Why?
Because Malcolm Butler had to have done something wrong. If he just benched Malcolm Butler because he thinks Johnson Badamosi and Jordan Richards are better than Butler, then he's a dumb coach. But he's not a dumb coach. So I know he did something wrong, even though he's saying that he didn't do it, even though it's coming out that Butler didn't do anything. Butler clearly did something wrong, right?
I don't know. I mean, who do I trust? I mean, Bill Belichick, you know I trust him and believe him. And Adam Schefter both say the same thing. I mean, to me, that locks it in. It is done. That's it. That is the truth. It has to be.
You ever seen the Patriot Circle of Trust people? It's right here. Card-carrying member Floyd Reese. And then McDaniels just turns down the Colts, like walks to the aisle and then walks back down? Uh-uh. I have a hard time believing the New England Patriots now. They are the team who is crying wolf right in front of our eyes. Let's go to your phone. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. You don't even believe that all this is true. Let's go to your phones live out at Village Pub in East Nashville. Zach is going to kick us off today on Josh McDaniels. What's up, Zach?
Hey, what's up, Jared? GM, I appreciate it. Appreciate the chance with Jared being nice today. I love to hear that. That's amazing. You're the man. Real quick, Jared, I think you are right on point with your suspicions. I think it's a very scumbag, classless move that McDaniels did to the Colts, regardless of the history between the Colts and Patriots. It should be about McDaniels and his future. And to turn down a job, a head coach job right in front of him is pretty fishy, and you know that in part is because the Colts suck, and probably is in part because the higher ups, you know, kind of got him not to leave. So it's a classless move by them, and only furthers our suspicions. I'll say our suspicions that they're kind of a rigged team there in New England. I appreciate you guys, and last thought. I think
only because I'm being nice. Go ahead.
Thank you. You'll like this real quick. I think a little bit has to do with the fact that the Patriots are addicted to the spotlight, and a move like that gets them the spotlight, especially after they got exfoliated. Thanks, guys.
Yep. Thanks for the call, Zach. I don't think the Patriots are rushing for the spotlight.
I'm going to guess now. They've got plenty of spotlight.
I mean, all they have to do is release another Facebook episode about Brady, and that's right back to the spotlight.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll say this, though, to the thing about how classless it is with what McDaniels did. What's Indy doing releasing a thing saying, hey, press conference tomorrow at 4:00 when the guy's never signed a contract?
Bad move.
That's why that happens to these teams. That's why Indy's a stupid team, because they do things like this. The dumb teams do that. The thing that's crazy about the Colts are that we don't look at the Colts the same way we look at the Jets, because the Jets haven't won anything in 25 years, but the Jets are a humongous, you know, just dysfunctional organization. The Colts are a crazy dysfunctional organization too. They just had Peyton Manning cover it up for 18 years.
Yeah, I mean, the Colts have always been that way. I mean, people will tell you because of the Irsay family. I mean, the daddy was, you know, a problem child and influenced the franchise. And it appears that the son is etching that way a little bit. And I think that's, you know, that's the concern for a lot of these people. When it was Bill Polian and Peyton Manning, I mean, that organization was respected. You know, now it doesn't have the same image in my mind.
Well, let me ask you this question. Do you think this happens to the Colts if Polian's still the general manager?
No.
See, that's my point.
No.
You know, like, that never would have happened to Bill Polian.
No.
It's just like when you left the Titans, they became a laughingstock because they were left in charge by Jeff Fisher. And it's like, now we look back on it and think, what were we all thinking in this town when that happened? We should have rioted or had a revolt or something when they let you go and they kept Jeff Fisher. And it's because, again, when you have the dumb people in charge, dumb things happen. And that's why, since Polian and Peyton have left, and I'm with you, I don't even throw Dungy into that group. Dungy is a couple rungs below Peyton and Polian for keeping that thing together.
Yeah.
But when you don't have those guys in there, this is what happens. This is why I can't take the Colts. It's hard for me to take the Colts as a threat to the Titans seriously.
Well, and I think you look at what's happened to the program in the last 5 or 6 years. I mean, you know, even with arguably one of the top 2 or 3 or 4 quarterbacks in the league, everything else is just diminished, mm-hmm. You know. They used to have pass rush. They used to have some areas that really have diminished.
Let's go to Will, who's up next here on Jared and the GM live out of Village Pub in East Nashville today. What's up, Will?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Excited that you're going to be a little nicer today.
I'm trying, but don't test it.
Yeah, I think this whole situation's hilarious. I was a guy who wanted Josh McDaniels. Now that I see the character of this guy to do this to some of the assistants that have been hired, I'm very happy J-Rob didn't pursue him more. It makes me happy that we've got Vrabel instead of McDaniels. And I feel like this whole situation is eerily similar to when Belichick resigned from the Jets. It's almost as if Kraft waited until it was all but done. You know, according to Schefter, it was done. And he knew that he waited till the last second so the optics make it seem, you know, it lets people know this guy is going to be the successor. And he made it. He waited till the last, absolute last second so that he couldn't say no. He gave him head coach money. So I appreciate it. Listen to the show. Thank you, guys.
Yep. Thanks for the call, Will. You think that Kraft, I think deep down inside the reason Kraft pursued Belichick to run the Patriots when he fired Pete Carroll, and I really thought this after watching the two Bills, was because he wanted to stick it to the Jets for having stuck it to him on Parcells.
You know,
do you think he's sticking it to the Colts by what he did?
And I had talked to Robert about this, you know, time and time again. I mean, I think he was just really infatuated with Bill because Bill was there as an assistant. And I'm not putting words in Robert's mouth, but he led me to believe that he thought, you know, Belichick was the best coach on the staff then, way back when. And, you know, I think if he would have had a redo, he might have hired Bill instead of Bill. And
would have hired the other Bill.
Yeah. He had tremendous respect for Belichick, which, you know, as quiet as Bill is, it's hard to imagine that. But, you know, Robert, I mean, I'll say this for Robert. Robert's in the meetings. He goes to the meetings. He's out there at practice every day. Every day he's in the office, and he's not analyzing as much as he's just kind of watching, but he watches everything.
And he apparently has a great relationship with the players.
Yeah. I mean, the players love him. He loves the players. I mean, it's that's important, that relationship.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. I have a big fear with the Colts. There is one thing that I would not like the Colts to do. I want to get to that next. Plus, the shadow on the Colts. And I want to kind of talk about something we talked about yesterday before we knew McDaniels wasn't coming. I want to get into that as well. It's Jared the GM live out at Village Pub in East Nashville where we are hanging out 1308 McGavick Pike. Come on out and join us and watch the Preds game tonight as they take on Toronto. And if you're here by 7 o'clock, you can register to win those premium lower-level center ice tickets. Preds versus Calgary next Thursday night. Come on out. Drawing at 7 o'clock. It's Jared the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I'll say this, and I've said this since day one. It's never about one guy. It's never about one guy. It's about the team. That's what I believe. And I think Andrew would tell you the same thing.
Chris Ballard, general manager of the Indianapolis Colts. It's not about one guy with the Indianapolis Colts. Right, Floyd?
Right.
If you were general manager of the Colts, would it be about one guy?
Oh, God, I mean, I'd be scared to death. They got to be scared to death. I mean, Luck may, he may never play again. They just don't know.
I said this to you and Chris Sanders yesterday. We'll talk to Chris Sanders in a little bit. I said this yesterday on the show. I said that I don't worry about the Colts because I don't know if Luck's coming back, and it's such a mess of an organization. And to be honest with you, McDaniels, I mean, I was not like this believer that McDaniels was some transcendent coach. You know what I mean? So I added all that together. I said I'm not worried about the Colts. Now McDaniels leaves the organization at the altar, and then you have Ballard at the press conference saying it's not all about Andrew Luck. And then this is a long cut, but I want you to hear this. This was Ballard at the press conference updating people on Andrew Luck's status. And keep in mind that the number one job of a quarterback is to throw the football. And this was Ballard today at the podium about the status of Andrew Luck.
Let's talk about Andrew, because there's a lot of rumors. Everybody's an expert. Everybody is an expert on this right now. And all we can do is, number one, I'm going to listen to Andrew Luck, who I absolutely believe in and trust. I'm going to listen to the doctors that he is talking to and dealing with. And I'm going to listen to the guy that's training him right now. And at this point, we feel very strongly that Andrew's in a good place. He doesn't need surgery. I've not gotten that from the two doctors that he's seen here in the after the season. His strength is good. He's working on his throw motion, and he's working on his arm speed right now. He's not picked up a football, but he's throwing balls, working on arm speed. He is going to do every. He's not going to skip a step. I don't know if you know Andrew, but Andrew's not going to skip a step. He's going to do everything right to get himself ready to play.
I want to stop there. He's working on his throwing, but he hasn't thrown the ball.
There's something seriously wrong there. I mean, there's that whole thing is, how long's it been?
It's been like two years.
Yeah, close to 2 years. I mean, that's, you know, and I know shoulders are delicate and they have to, but I mean, baseball players get shoulder surgery every year. I mean, multiple times, multiple people. And you know, soon after they're throwing a camp, ready to go and cranking it up. And here, I mean, this has been almost 2 years. I mean, they have to be scared to death. Have to be.
But it's not about one guy.
And that, yeah, right. And there's your, there's probably your Josh Daniels answer right there.
Josh McDaniels, why he wanted to leave, come back or whatever. If Ballard could retake the job knowing what he knows now about Luck's health.
He may change too.
He wouldn't take it. That's right. Corey Curtis has called in from News 2. What's up, Corey? Thank you for holding. What's up?
Well, Jared, people every week ask me, why you go on with that Jared Stillman? And I always say the same thing. Jared's passionate. He's just a little misguided. And Floyd is just, frankly, too nice to set him straight.
He's got this answer loaded like in a shotgun.
To suggest that Mike Mularkey was fired and Mike Vrabel was hired as a part of some grand conspiracy to help the Patriots screw over the Colts is maybe one of the most absurd things I've heard in NFL history.
I asked the question.
I understand your mistrust for the Patriots. I really do. They've earned that mistrust. I'm sorry, Floyd, but they absolutely have. However, no GM who is worth anything is going to put his organization in jeopardy to help another one, no matter how big that circle of trust may be.
I don't think you understood what I argued or what I was thinking. My thing is, I think they let John in on it. Like, John, hey, here's the deal. We're going to do this. Josh is going to do that. And here's your chance to get Vrabel, because if you don't, Vrabel's going to the Colts. And so John Robinson
with
his...
He wanted to hire Vrabel since the day he took the job. Come on, man.
And if they tell him that McDaniels is going to spurn the Colts, then he knows that this is his only chance to hire Vrabel.
I like the way you put it, though, Corey.
Thanks, Floyd.
It sound pretty
so hold on,
you know, pretty awesome.
It's like my wife loves to watch there's one like Days of Our Lives, I think, and this would be right up there with something that would happen in Salem. And so I, you know, that's in the Northeast. This is in the Northeast. I think it's fantastic. And if you could confirm these suspicions, Jared, you would have the scoop of the century in the NFL.
Right, but you can't confirm it because it's the Patriots and it's a circle of trust, and the guy who could confirm it is just going to chuckle.
Circle of trust.
The circle of trust. Corey, we appreciate it. Thank you for calling in. I would say this.
Thanks, Corey.
I give Corey a lot of credit for having a built-in, already prepared answer for when people ask him why he comes on the show with us.
Yes, he's good. He's probably been asked that a few times.
We're a really popular show. People listen. They want to know.
How about the way he stated what went on and how you got it? When you heard him say, he went, oh, geez, did I say that?
I didn't say that. I didn't say that. He thinks I think that there was a conspiracy to help the Patriots on the end of John Robinson. I don't believe that. I just want to know if John Robinson, again, I'm not accusing anybody of anything. I'm asking the question. I want to know when John Robinson knew Josh McDaniels was going to spurn the Colts. Because if he knew that before he fired Mike Mularkey, then it makes sense because you fire Mike Mularkey to keep the Colts from hiring Mike Vrabel. I still think there's some truth to that.
Okay. And it doesn't matter. I can tell this is one of these issues with you. It doesn't matter how many people call up and tell you you're wacko. You won't. You're going to hang right with it.
One person has called up and said I'm wacko.
But that was a strong voice.
It doesn't mean that you say it like we've got loaded lines of people calling in to tell me I'm wacko.
We're close.
I mean, that happens a lot. But it just, again, I'm just not willing to take everything that is Patriots related. If there is an ounce of Patriots blood there, I cannot take it for face value. Malcolm Butler got benched in the Super Bowl because he did something stupid. And the only reason I know that is because it makes no sense for Belichick to bench him otherwise. For Johnson Batamosi?
Adam, you heard Schefter.
Stop.
Schefter knows. I mean, he's your guru.
Schefter
doesn't know.
Schefter doesn't know.
If Schefter says
knows
it, it
what
has
he's
to be
told.
True.
You know, it's like these people that bring on, you know, I'm not here to knock Peter King, but people will bring Peter King onto their show, right? Peter, what are the Ravens going to be like this year? And they ask him, and Peter gives them like a 5-minute answer. Peter don't know.
Yeah.
All Peter's known, Peter's career is what people tell Peter to report. That's how that works.
Yes, sir.
And so I'm just sitting here saying that the only thing Schefter knows is what he's been told, and he's probably been told by the Belichick camp, oh, Malcolm didn't do anything wrong, because Belichick doesn't want to throw Butler under the bus because maybe Bill just doesn't want to deal with it, or that Bill's got some there's a method to all this, and it's not that Malcolm Butler's not a good enough player to play in the Super Bowl. That I am fairly certain in. And I also don't trust that McDaniels just changed his mind, that he just woke up and he just kind of changed his mind a little bit and didn't feel like going to the Colts anymore.
I'll say this, though. He knows who the quarterback is. If Luck can't play, he knows who the quarterback is.
Brissett?
Yeah. And because he's worked with Seth for however many years, however long it is, he probably is thinking, you know, I've already messed one of these jobs up over the quarterback.
With Tim Tebow.
For me to take this job and not have Luck and end up with Set, I don't want that to happen. You know, I'm gonna get fired again, and I will never, ever have another chance. Maybe can't get the job back with New England.
Well, and to that point, too, like we talk about Andrew Luck throwing the ball and how he has not been throwing the ball. I mean, I don't know if Colts fans understand this. Like, if Andrew Luck's not healthy this season, you're looking at 5-11 for the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, if Andrew Luck can't throw a football by the time you're drafting at 3rd overall this year, you might want to think about a quarterback, because you're staring 5-11 square in the face with that roster without Andrew Luck.
Absolutely.
Especially with the Jags where they are and the Titans where they could be, you are in some real trouble in Indianapolis. So I don't blame McDaniels at all. I just, again, I don't think McDaniels woke up yesterday thinking he was going to the Colts. That's all I'm going to say on that. Chris Sanders, former Titans receiver, will get his reaction to the news, his thoughts, because he's kind of a believer that Indianapolis might not be terrible next year. We'll get all that thought and much more. It's Jared and the GM live out at Village Pub in East Nashville. Once again, come on out. Watch the Preds tonight as they take on Toronto and register to win those premium center ice seats for the Preds in Calgary next week at Bridgestone Arena. The drawing will be at 7 o'clock. All you got to do is come on out here to Village Pub in East Nashville, register to win, and those tickets can be yours if you win. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Well, first you get a chance to kind of get to know these guys when they're coming out in the draft process, and he's as stand-up. I haven't been more impressed with many other quarterbacks coming out in terms of his character, and you can tell that he's as coachable as they come. So I think that really stood out to me. But we're still kind of going through and trying to evaluate what exactly each one of these guys does well, and we're going to try to tailor our offense to our players' abilities.
That was Matt LaFleur, the new offensive coordinator of the Titans today, talking about Marcus a little bit. So, Floyd, one thought about this before we kind of get into the LaFleur stuff and what he said today and Marcus and all. I mean, yesterday we sat up there and we talked about the AFC South and how much better the AFC South was going to be.
Yeah.
Because Jacksonville returns everybody, basically. And if Jacksonville gets a quarterback, they might be good. And the Texans get guys healthy. And if Andrew Luck comes back and Josh McDaniels is the coach, maybe the Colts are a team to worry about. And now McDaniels is out, and we don't know about Andrew Luck. And Matt LaFleur seems to say a lot of the right things about the Titans. I don't know. I just kind of feel like I take a little bit of a step back as far as the Colts are concerned after what happened yesterday. And then that weird Ballard explanation as to what Andrew Luck's been doing when you know that Matt LaFleur does have a plan for your quarterback.
Without a doubt. I mean, this will reflect on that organization for a couple years. You know, they're always going to be talking about it. Ballard has to be as embarrassed as he can be. And, you know, I don't know if he knew Josh and trusted Josh or...
Well, his agent, Bob Lamont, was McDaniels' agent, and Bob Lamont apparently dropped McDaniels today as his client.
Yeah, then, you know, maybe it's just Josh. And the truth is, I mean, the Crafts could come in and say, hey, you know, here are your choices. Really think about this. And they pay you enough money, it's worth staying.
Chris Sanders, former Titans receiver, joins us. Chris, your thoughts. Are you like me now that Josh McDaniels has publicly disowned the Colts? Are you with me from the standpoint of not having to worry about them next year?
I mean, I agree with you 100%. I mean, when you don't have a head coach and you don't know who your quarterback's going to be, I mean, you're looking at a team that's in disarray right now. I mean, what's the vision of the team? Where do we go? We don't have a head coach. We don't know if Luck's going to be here. You know, what's the vision of the team? There's no vision of the team. So, you know, if you don't have things in place and try to come up with something, then now you're going to have disarray. I mean, you got the draft coming up later on. You got the combine coming up. You got all these things going on. And if you don't have a head coach and you don't know what direction you're going in, then how are you going to be a successful organization?
I also look at this and I think to myself, this only happens to the bad organizations. This never happens to the Patriots themselves. This never happens to the Green Bay Packers or the Steelers. This happens to the Jets and the Colts and the Redskins. And it's kind of like it turns you off to that entire organization as a whole.
Yeah, are you talking about the Colts or
yeah, the Colts. I feel like the Colts are a laughingstock.
Yeah, but whose fault is it? I mean, you got a situation, and it's just my opinion. A coach gave his word. He said, you know what, I'm coming to be a part of your organization. So is it the coach's fault or is it New England's fault? I mean, I know we're blaming, you know, the coach right now, and they're saying, oh, they dropped the ball, but did they really drop the ball in the situation with McDaniels? So, I mean, we got to figure out what went down and then go from there.
Chris, how would you react, put yourself in T.Y. Hilton's spot?
Uh-huh.
You know, this is your organization.
Yeah.
And you're seeing what's happened with a new GM. How does that affect you?
I mean, it affects you a lot because, you know, we always talking about building a relationship with your coach. How can you build a relationship with your coach if you don't know who your coach is? So, and what vision you're going in and don't know what's happening. So I think it affects, you know, a lot of people. It doesn't just affect me personally. It affects everybody because what scheme are we're going to run? What's the identity of our team? Where are we going? How are we going to practice? There's nothing in place. But as a player, if I don't have anything in place and I don't know what to do, then how am I going to prepare for the season if I don't know who even my head coach is? So I just think that, you know, as a if I'm a leader of that team, I would call a team meeting and say, you know what, guys, regardless of what's going on in the front office, regardless of what's going on with the head coach, let's stick together as a team, regardless of what everybody else is doing, regardless of what is going on upstairs, as a team, as individuals, let's come together and keep this thing, this nucleus of guys together and try to make something work, because right now it's in disarray.
What are your thoughts? I don't think I've ever heard of a shoulder injury lasting almost 2 years with a guy. Yeah. I mean, you have to be just scared to death for Luck?
Yeah, I would. I mean, you know what, Floyd? I'm going to be straight up honest with you. I think it's something deeper than that. You know, we always talk about, I know it's his shoulder, but I don't think they're telling everybody the severity of his shoulder. Everybody's, oh, he's okay, he's throwing the ball. But how is he throwing the ball? Is he just tossing it to one of the trainers? Is he tossing it to one of the coaches? But does he have velocity on it? I mean, nobody knows.
They came out today, Chris, and said that he hasn't even thrown the ball.
That concerns me. I mean, it's been 2 years, you know, and everybody keeps repeating the same thing over and over again. Oh, he's throwing the ball, or he's ahead of progress. What the heck does that mean? Does it mean that he threw a little nerve ball to his son? I mean, no disrespect, but what the heck does that mean?
Former Titans receiver Chris Sanders is our guest here on the show. I, again, Chris, kind of stand by this. I mean, is the Titans, you know, we're going to get into this in a little bit, but Matt LaFleur today was talking at length about maximizing the potential of the player that he has in Mariota.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that gave me a little confidence. And it we know what Jacksonville, how, like we talked about this yesterday, about how Jacksonville knows they're good now, so they're going to be even better. But if Indy, if the quarterback's not throwing the ball at all and he's got a 2-year shoulder injury, and I'm with you, I think there's something there, and you add in that obviously their coach is going to be like the eighth choice. I mean, I don't know about the Colts, man. This is very concerning to me.
You know what? It just shows you how, you know, we should be so happy as fans that 5 years ago, we were in the same situation, but it was the same situation of a team being in disarray. So I'm telling you, the fans need to be excited where we're at. We got new coaches. We got a new attitude. And we got an umph about ourselves. Now we got the Colts that are in disarray. But are we going to take advantage of beating these guys in the AFC South, or are we just going to just make it like we've been doing in the last couple of years?
Mm. There's a lot of truth to that. Former Titans receiver Chris Sanders. Chris, we appreciate it. As always, always good to talk to you.
Hey, another thing, man. Are we all still friends, man?
Well, I'm friends with you, but I'm not friends with Floyd.
We hugged it.
We hugged it out. We hugged it out. We're good.
I'm friends with you. I'm not friends with Floyd. Chris Sanders, our guest on the show. We'll see you, Chris.
I'll see you, Chris.
Thanks, man. Bye-bye.
Yeah, former Titans receiver Chris Sanders. Again, hey, I'm still mad at you, by the way.
What did I do?
I don't know. But I'm still mad.
Just general principle.
Jared and the GM hanging out here at Village Pub in East Nashville. Come on out, register to win those Preds tickets. Coming up next, speaking of Matt LaFleur, he did meet with the media today. He did talk about Marcus. And we'll get to that next. And we'll get Floyd's thoughts on what Matt LaFleur said about Marcus. That's all coming up. This Valentine's Day, give your sweetheart a special gift they will always remember. A singing Valentine's performed by the Nashville's finest barbershop quartet, the Music City Chorus. Go to thegamenashville.com and tell us your best or worst Valentine's story, and you could win a performance by the Music City Chorus. Live from Village Pub in East Nashville, it's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game.